Helen Collins has been on the air with us before. She's managing partner with Wolf & Co. in Skibbereen. She joins me by phone. Morning, Helen.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Now, I know that you're not a counsellor or a psychotherapist or anything. I get all of that. But what do you make of that kind of an email? Are there grounds for divorce there?
I'm sad. I'm so sad for that lady. And yes, of course, it's all of the things she said. It's pandemic anxiety. It's stress. It's exhaustion. It's fear. It's all of those big, strong emotions, of course, which are all overtaking us, some days better than others, while we're all in this lockdown situation. And it's really, really hard when you're at home working and with the children, trying to homeschool them, and on top of each other into this awful hothouse kind of situation.
The only thing I said about this at the time was, if their relationship was solid and happy before this pandemic, it will be again, yeah?
Of course, and of course, it depends on how people were in their ordinary life before this pandemic, and if there were cracks existing in their relationship prior to the pandemic, and if their communication skills or their ability to communicate with each other was in trouble prior to the pandemic, yeah. Of course, that's going to creak at the seams during the pandemic and possibly lead to a breakdown of the relationship. You probably read yourself that there was a huge increase in applications for divorce in China.
I did not. It was just Brenda told me that you said, yes. Because we were saying, do you think there'll be a spike of divorces? And you're saying if China is anything to go by, yes, is it?
Oh, there was huge. Apparently, they had to shut down the applications in one city. There were so many in March. And one family lawyer in Shanghai said his clientele applying for divorce went up by 25% in March. No, I would really, I mean, I already have had inquiries from people, but because I'm very much connected to how the family is and the family being in the centre and needed to be minded in the centre of any divorce application, I would certainly be advising my clients to give themselves time to get rebalanced after this pandemic.
Do you know when somebody calls a solicitor, right, and says, yes. I want a divorce, do you ask them why?
For the first thing I do is listen to what they want to tell me. And then as our relationship develops, I certainly would ask them, is there any big reason why they want to take this step? And sometimes there can be some very, very big reasons, obviously. But other times it can be a slow eroding over a period of time in the relationship and both people maybe wanting to make a change. So it can be big reasons, but it may not be.
But you don't necessarily have to go through a checklist asking if it's salvageable, like...
Well, I do try. My first discussion with my client, I would certainly discuss the need to for my client to go to a counsellor to work through the whys and wherefores of his or her decision and to make sure that they're happy about their decision. And a lot of the time when people come to me on the first visit, they may not have made the decision. So I would very much be encouraging them to seek the assistance of a counsellor in that regard.
You guys moved into legal mediation now? Aren't more solicitors doing that?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm a collaborative practitioner, which is a great process altogether. And I'm also a mediator. So, yes, we would be very conscious of supporting the family through the situation and encouraging people to look at all options. I very, very much would encourage my client. Well, I would see the situation as possibly being 10 or 20% low and 80 or 90% deep emotion. So it is imperative that there would be a counsellor involved with my client from the get-go to help them to make the kind of healthy decisions that they need to make.
Okay.
Because we're brilliant in Ireland about death. You know, we say to people, you know, give yourself time to make big decisions. Don't think of moving or selling the house. Give yourself at least 12 months after a big death in a family. But divorce and separation is full-blown bereavement. And I'm actually asking my clients to make really big decisions at a time when they're probably least able to make
decisions. But maybe they are able to make the decision because they've had so much time on their hands because of this at home. Okay, I know that there's a lot going on in the home with small kids and what have you. But they have had time to reflect over the last couple of months of their life. And they may not be happy with their lot.
Yeah, and there's a lot of self-reflection going on in the situation. And perhaps all that is true. Perhaps all that is true. But there is also the kind of unnatural kind of hot house situation that we're living through at the minute. You know, I mean, we go to work every day. The kids go to school every day. We all have our space. And it's very hard for adults to be together all the time. It doesn't make for a good relationship. We all need space as human beings. We all need space from our spouses and we all need space from our children. And we're not getting that at the moment. So it's bound to, and also overlaying all of that is fear. We're worried about our health, we're worried about our finances, we're probably not sleeping at night, we're maybe drinking a couple of glasses of wine too much. All of this is adding to that total layer of fear and stress, which equals deep anxiety, which equals possibly depression. It may be that this lady's husband is suffering from depression when he's walking around with that glum face.
I just think that he's getting a raw deal. Like some people just have a glum face, you know. I have kind of a glum face. I'm not glum, but that's just the way my face looks. She's allergic to looking at her husband, but I don't know that he's done anything wrong.
Somebody doesn't have to look at your glum face all day long in ordinary circumstances. I don't mean that.
But she married the glum face, like.
Well, she doesn't have to see it all day, every day in ordinary circumstances. That's just the pandemic.
I mean, she says he's a great father. He's actually a good man. She's just allergic to the sight of him. It's like,
I know, and that happens when it's kind of really up close and personal like that. I think for her, she needs to help herself to understand what's happening. To give herself some space to step back from him, because he's in her face at the moment and she's being sucked into all of these very negative, what I call the merry-go-round feelings. Will I, won't I leave him? Isn't he horrible? All of those things. That's the merry-go-round.
When you get into areas like physical violence or domestic abuse, that's a different ballgame entirely.
Completely different. I'm talking about ordinary situations. No, I'm not talking about where somebody is suffering abuse and a coercive control and domestic violence. There's no question about it. And step away.
What happens in those situations? When they come to you looking for divorce, is a barring order also being worked on as well as the divorce?
Yes. You'd work on two different levels. You'd work on what we would call the district court level, which would be safety and security and barring orders. And then when all of those are in place, we'll work on the circuit court level, which would be the separation stroke divorce.
Do we know of any increases in that area at the moment, I wonder?
Oh, yes, definitely. Sure. I mean, the current circumstances are like the perfect storm for couples who are suffering or spouses who are suffering abuse and for children who are suffering abuse. I'm terrified at the thought of what's happening, to be honest with you.
And why do you say children are not being taken care of properly?
I'm not saying abuse comes in lots of different forms. Like, obviously, there's the obvious ones of sexual abuse, there's physical abuse, there's parents that aren't coping well in this situation, abusing alcohol or whatever. There's many varieties of abuse. And normally, obviously, children can get to school, they can get a break from it.
But they're at home seeing it.
They're at home seeing it and they're at home living it now at the minute, you know, with little ability to escape.
I mean, we take seriously what the CSO tell us because their statisticians are right on the money. And their latest survey says that people are struggling at home, but primarily women who now seem to be more likely to drink more, eat more junk food, feel more depressed during lockdown. They say that women are hit harder during all of this.
Well, I think women are very good at building friends, relationships, and staying in touch with family and all of that. You know, it's something that that we enjoy. And I think for us women to be without our extended family and to be without our friends is very hard. That's not to say, and that men aren't suffering exactly the same thing, but. You know, women tend to be very sociable in that regard, and I can see it happening that that there's an element of loneliness and despair coming into the situation. I wake up in the morning myself, and I'm an optimistic person and an energetic person, and I get going for the day, and then some days you just say, oh my God, what kind of situation am I living in, and how long am I going to be living in it? And you worry about the money, and you worry about keeping the business going, and you worry about your staff and your family, and it just overwhelms you at times, and then the next day you can get at it again. You know, I think it's happening to all of us.
Yes, and that's from a personal perspective of yours, and this is interesting too. Just a texter here says, picking up on your statement of how lockdown affects women, I totally agree. I'm a working mum of two, and I have now been home with my kids since the 12th of March. Don't get me wrong, I love my kids dearly. However, this mundane life is really taking its toll on my mental health, as I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people. I know a lot of people will say, oh, don't have kids if you don't want to be with them. And I assure you, I do want to be with them. But the statement proves true for me. A very stressed mom. Thanks for reading. She has another person struggling there with just...
And you see, we're not made to be... And it isn't a healthy relationship for us to be with our spouses, our partners, all of the time. And it isn't a healthy relationship for us as parents to be with our children all of the time. You know, every adult needs a little bit of space to breathe. And I would say to that lady, if you can either contact your first reader who wrote that stressed letter to you, I would say to her, if you can, contact a counsellor online. Most counsellors I know are working online. And that would give her some help and some way of getting off.
How is a counsellor, no matter how talented they are, going to stop her hating the sight of her husband's face?
Because, you see, we can get stuck into a certain viewpoint. As I said, it's what I call the merry-go-round. You get stuck in it. And I need to be able to step back. In a situation that's troubling me greatly, I need to be able to find a way of stepping back and making sense of it. And if I can find a way of stepping back and making sense of it, I can make more balanced decisions on it. I would also suggest to her, if there was any space in her house, any little physical space, whether it's a spare room or cupboard even the shed down at the back of the garden, if both of them are working at home with the children, I would suggest to her, try and create a separate space for herself. And she can share it with her spouse. You know, that can be the attractive bit. I'll take it in the morning, you take it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And so she can get away from the husband and the children, both. And then she can do the children's stint in the afternoon while he's away.
That's a very healthy attitude for a solicitor to have, when by and large we always thought that a divorce was a three-way split. You, your ex-partner and the solicitor, do you know what I mean?
Qualified and skilled divorce lawyers fully understand.
Yeah, yeah.
The need for children and families to be front and center of every decision in relation to separation or divorce. And
unless it's acrimonious then, and it drags on and costs a fortune, right?
Well, I say that to my clients straight up. The more you're going to fight, when they ask me how much is this going to cost, I say, the more you're going to fight, the more it's going to cost. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's directly related to the fighting involved, the cost.
While it wouldn't be you, though, are there not a proportion of solicitors who fuel that fire to get costs up and try and make partners acrimonious with each other?
I suspect you could say that to me, actually. Yeah. But I would say you could count them on one hand. I think most family lawyers that I know would live in an arena of good self-awareness, would be very much tuned in to family needs, would be very caring of maintaining that family relationship after separation and divorce. As I say to my clients, you may be parting from your spouse, but you're not parting from your family.
Yeah.
And your children will always see you and your spouse as their family, even if you're married 10 times over afterwards. So this is the family, and this is the family unit, and this is what has to be preserved as closely as possible through this process. Yeah,
well, that's good to hear. Just as a by the way, I won't keep you much longer, but just as a by the way, are you hearing of any issues with regards to visitation rights of children by fathers or indeed mothers?
There was at the beginning of the lockdown, there was a great deal of trouble and strife about that, because some of the court orders weren't being adhered to, and some parents were unfortunately using it as maybe out of fear. I'm not saying it was out of necessarily any bad motivation, but everybody was very fearful about protecting children and keeping the unit intact and all the rest. So I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt and say perhaps it was out of fear, and there was a lot of difficulty, and there was a shutting down of access. But that was clear.
But do you see any of that as being vindictive? I mean, by and large, children will be with, the way it is in Ireland, I'm open to correction on this, but by and large, the children are with mother, right?
No. It's generally a much more fluid situation than that for most families. No, obviously, again, I'm not talking about families where children are at risk. That's a completely different matter where children need to be protected. I'm talking about the ordinary run-of-the-mill situation. And there's pretty fluid situations generally for most separating couples can work that out in fairness. Sometimes they can't, but most of the time they can. And it would generally, depending on people's work schedule, and if the children were young, they might tend to be with mum during the week to facilitate school and homework and all of that.
Yes.
But they'd certainly be with dad at the weekends. And there'd be many a situation where the kids might be with dad for at least one night or two nights.
Oh, I know. It's just over the years, I do get quite an amount of correspondence, particularly from dads who feel that their ex-partners are being very vindictive with regards to visitation rights, and they're using the child as a tool against the person that they now tend to hate.
It can happen, certainly. And you see, when people get very fearful, they fall back to the default situation. And the default situation over all the years was that dad was in control of the money and mum was in control of the children. And you can see that happening when people get really stressed and anxious. You can hear dad, if dad is my client, sometimes I hear a dad say, well, I'm not paying for that. And I'm saying, okay, hold it on now. We're just going to step back from that for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can hear mums, if they're my client, say, well, he's not going to see the children. And, you know, like that, it's my job then to help mum step back from that. You know, that this is not what is going to be the bargaining tool here, you know?
Wow, so, man. It's a minefield, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, I love my work. I genuinely love my work. I love my... Yeah, because I can genuinely... I feel with... And a lot of good family lawyers that I know can genuinely make a difference to people and help them through a very difficult time. You know?
Okay. Listen, we covered a lot of ground. Appreciate that. So the advice, though, would be for somebody who is in a situation whereby they're contemplating divorce, just try and decide whether this is COVID related or the bigger picture of a crumbling relationship.
What I would say is, please get yourself a good counsellor. Please do yourself. You deserve that support. Get a good counsellor and work through on this. A counsellor...
And get space as well. Get space,
but get a good counsellor.
All right.
Because a good counsellor will help you work out what your needs are here. A good counsellor will give you skills, communication skills, will help you to develop better communication skills. All of those things help enormously in working out what it is you need to do.
Okay.
And whether that need is to step away from your marriage or whether that need is to stay in your marriage, the skills you learn and the work you do with the counsellor is usable across the board. It's a life skill.
Okay, that's interesting, saying don't pick up the phone, call a lawyer, pick up the phone, call a counsellor. Fair play to you.
Please do. please do.
Helen, pleasure
and
talking to you.
If things go to, you know, if you feel you have to take the step, do pick up the phone and choose your lawyer. Choose your lawyer carefully. Choose your lawyer as a, you know, pick somebody who will take care of your family as well.
Bigger picture logic. Thanks for that. Much obliged. Hope you're managing okay down there in beautiful West Cork.
Well, I can tell you the sun is out now, and I live in Baltimore, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's as they say, when I go out for my daily walk, it's no hardship.
There you go.
Absolutely no hardship.
Beautiful part of the world, any time of the year, particularly now. Mind yourself, Helen.
It's lovely to talk to you.
Take
well
care.
Bye.
Cheers. Helen Collins, managing partner of Wolf & Co. out of Skibbereen. Incredible woman.